Today on Snail Trail 4x4, size always matters.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Our new Diamond nanotechnology acts as tiny ball bearings that keep the boundary layer strong, smooths out the metal surfaces, and is virtually impervious to heat and pressure. This keeps you in your rig rather than under it. High performance is more than our products, it's our lifestyle. Bestline Racing.
Welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course hearing about how awesome wrenching in Toyotas is because I like being repetitive, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. I am one of your hosts. My name is Tyler. Nice to meet you guys. Mucho gusto. And sitting here with me today in the Snail Trail studio, 6 feet apart with gloves and masks on, is Jimmy in his welding mask. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm good, Tyler. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You can lift up the hood now and talk normally.
Yeah. Hi. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm glad to see your face while I'm talking to you.
Well, that welding hood is dark.
It does get dark in there.
Yes.
So mine's actually very bright. It's very nice, actually.
Oh, fancy.
It is a fancy one. But anyway, so yeah, how are you doing today, man?
Good. Life's going all right. Yep. We've got gorgeous weather out here. Mm-hmm. Projects are getting completed. And
yeah.
I washed Charlotte for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, the RAV4 needs a good washing. I was noticing it today. Yeah. I haven't been driving it a lot lately because I've been driving the 4Runner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God, there's like an inch thick film of dust over the hood.
There, I actually cleaned out the engine bay on Charlotte, which to my knowledge has never been done.
And you think I'm being the fancy one.
Yeah. So it was, that was fun. It was a good little project. Took me a few hours.
Did you wipe it down with No Squeak?
No, I didn't use No Squeak. I used, I did it on Lloyd when I was getting ready to sell Lloyd. Mm-hmm. I used that 303 aerospace protectant stuff. Uh-huh. That works really, I know it works really good on rubber and I've used it before. And so I just did the same thing.
I would have loved to have seen a compare and contrast, like do half of the engine in the 303 and half in No Squeak.
I got a few other vehicles we can play with.
Yay! Let's go and do the RAV4.
Yeah. But it looks good. I'm super happy with how it came out. I mean, it's just nice to have a clean vehicle.
It is. I'm rather jealous of your hair. I will say.
Okay. Why is that?
I'm getting pretty sick and tired of my hair right now.
Well, I got clippers.
You do?
We can just buzz it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just shave it all off.
That's for the most part what I did. Uh-huh. I think we talked about it before that I got a haircut. And yeah, my old man used to cut our hair when we were kids. So I kind of was like, hey, you still remember how to do this?
Yeah. I thought I could, you know, just keep trimming the hair around my ears. But it's now just getting to the point where it's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need to find a ninja barber here soon and go sneak a haircut.
Yeah. By the way, that this whole pandemic's turning out, I don't know when they're going to open up again.
You know, it's funny. You'd never realize how much you value and miss your barber until you can't get a haircut anymore.
Right.
And then you're like, God, I need to go back. So to all of you barbers and salons out there, we miss you. The people miss you. And we're really upset that you guys are one of the last ones to open up. So if any of you guys do house calls, let me know. anyway, so welcome to episode 92. 92. That's 92.
Yes.
And we got the mobile studio back from Nitro Gears with a new sticker on the side. We'll send a picture out to you guys. It says Nitro or nothing.
And I like it.
He put it over the sticker for the actual case, the knockoff Pelican case that we got for it. So it looks like Nitro Gears is Weather resistant, shock proof, and all. It's nice. What else is the other one?
I don't know.
Extra padded.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, new sticker on the mobile case.
Also,
mobile
reminder podcast. There that we have a Snail Trail 15 to go get your discount code from Nitro Gear.
Yeah, check that out. We talked with them. They're going to have that and keep that active through the end of May here.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have through the end of May. If it does well, and there's people going and using the discount code, then they said they will continue extending it. So we just need people to go and use it just to show that it's working, and then it'll be able to be reused in the future.
Yeah.
So you can not only get one gear set now, but then you can get axles next month if they, when they re-extend it.
Yeah. So if you do need some gearing or axles, you know, check them out.
Yep. Also, go check out Best Line Racing. They're still doing their monthly giveaway for a 4-pack of engine treatment. So you have a chance to get in on that. Go to racingadditives.com, which is Best Line's website. And then make sure you're also using the Snail Trail discount code, which is Snail Trail, all one word. That gets you 15% off at Best Line Racing as well. Nice. And that's continuous, and that's everything on the website. I don't believe he's going to be shutting that down anytime soon. There's no end on it. So you guys can continue. It's kind of one of those things that you keep purchasing over and over, right?
Mm-hmm.
With your oil changes. So being able to continually use that is a really nice thing that Perry has been able to set up for all the listeners. So
definitely
make sure you're making use of it so he continues it.
Big shout out to all the patrons out there. Thank you. Thank you so much for continually to support us. And this month we have the Gear Wrench giveaway for you guys.
$235.
$235 or like $300 or $360. Depending on how you want to value the Bluetooth speaker. I'll go with the Amazon price.
There we go.
We got a Bluetooth speaker for you that does all Bluetooth stuff. It has an SD card in the back, so you don't even have to get connected to anything. It does run AM and FM stereo on it as well. Another cool feature is if you want to go out and get another one, you can pair them and make them into a right and left channel speakers, which is pretty neat. We have the Wing Light hood latch setup, and we are doing the magnetic fender cover.
Yep. So all that is going to be in May's giveaway. Make sure you head over to patreon.com/snailtrail4x4 and get signed up for the $10 tier, that giveaway tier there, to get enrolled for the giveaway each month.
Definitely.
And we make sure that each month that that total value is at least $100. And as you can tell from the last few months, we're getting to a point where we can start making that value more and more.
Yeah. I think the last, maybe close to this year, it's been over $150.
I think so. I think almost every giveaway this year has been close to $150, if not over, so far. So that's really cool. The ultimate goal, I think, of that is to get up to a point where we can start doing winches and sets of tires for the giveaways, which would be freaking amazing. But in order to do that, we need to have more people on there. So, I know it's a little bit of interesting time right now to get people signed up. We're not saying go sign up right now. Don't take your stimulus checks and spend them. I'm going to pull a Yoda Mafia right now.
Yeah.
We're not saying spend your stimulus checks if you have bills to pay on Snail Trail 4x4. But if you have leftover money, get them there so that we can start getting up to some really cool items. Next month is going to be really cool as well. It's going to be an item I think you all are really going to want. It's going to be another gear wrench item. But that's all we can say for now. We'll get you more info at the end of the month.
Excellent.
So, what other updates? Hollister Hills, the safety clinic for Esprit de Four, that is still, I believe, as of now, going on, I believe that July 18th date, whatever that Saturday is that week, I believe it's July 18th, but that's still in the books for then. So, Jimmy, are you still planning on going out to that?
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
I'm up in the air now because I had told our friends, Sue and Chai, that I would help them with a Rubicon trip.
Oh, it's that same weekend.
So I'm not sure yet. I don't even know if that trip is still happening because the person that was going to be coming in and going on that trip is from Australia.
Oh.
So I need to check with them and see if they still have plans to be making that happening or not. But yeah, I might be going to the safety clinic. I might not.
Right.
We'll see.
I do know that we have some stuff coming up in June, right?
We have a lot of stuff coming up in June. Dates are have not been settled, but essentially the first 2 weeks of June, we are doing some listener meetup events with Gear Wrench. And so we're going to be doing one in Fresno, one in Modesto, and one, maybe two, in Sacramento. So we're not sure of the exact dates of those yet, but look for them. The first 2 weeks of June is when we'll be planning those out. I've already told a couple people in Fresno that we might be down there the first half of June, and they were pretty excited.
Cool.
So, yeah, once we get those dates settled, we'll get those out to you guys. But plan for some Gear Wrench and Snail Trail listener meetups in conjunction with the Gear Wrench Hauler events, which is essentially they bring out this massive tractor trailer, right? An 18-wheeler with a trailer that's built out like a tool garage. And they show off all the Gear Wrench tools. So you get to go and play with the Gear Wrench tools at these hauler events. So
Don't they have some sort of like challenge as well with to use the tools and undo things? I can't remember. It was like an obstacle course with the...
Oh, really?
With all the tools.
That.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. but they're also doing a Gear Wrench, essentially a garage giveaway of somehow. And that's, you can sign up with that through a link. I'll put it in the show notes for you guys. So you can go and sign up. And it's essentially a garage build out that Gear Wrench is doing for one lucky winner.
Dang.
Which is pretty freaking awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we'll put that in the show notes as well for you guys. And make sure you guys signed up for that. And I think that's about all the updates for now, right?
Yeah, I say let's jump in. I'm excited for this topic. So
this is going to be a fun topic. We'll go to a break here.
We argued setting up this list.
We did. Yeah. So we're going to go to a break here. Make sure that you're hanging out in your latte getters, as my good friend Brian would say. He took his latte getter over to get his caster fixed and set up properly. So it's his Jeep. So if you drive your JK, make sure you have your lattes on hand and ready to go. And of course, your stanky Jeep air fresheners for all you Jeep drivers as well. And then all the Toyota people, sit back and relax because you're the cool cats. And we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos. Today's campfire discussion is going to be fun because we kind of purposefully made it ordered in priority. So we're half expecting you guys to start yelling at your speakers as we go through our list here. But we have assembled kind of the top 10 tools, the top 10 tools that can go with Tyler's terribly twisted topic.
Oh, geez.
Oh, man. I love the alliteration. I'm on a roll. No, we have the top 10 tools here for you guys that I think that we both think are kind of necessities as you're first starting getting into building up your tools, working on cars, wrenching on your own, because we love helping people wrench on their own stuff. If you have a vehicle with a bunch of bolt-on stuff, then you got to know how it all works and how it's all put together, because if anything goes wrong while you're out on the trail, you're going to have to deal with it. You got to take it all apart and figure out how to fix it, or at least get it to the point where you can get it off the trail. So this is going to be on the shop side of things. How do you get everything figured out so that you can start working on your vehicles and get ready to get to that point, right?
Right.
You're nodding, which doesn't work very well for podcasting, Jimmy.
You do a lot of talking, so I sometimes can just nod and agree, and you'll just continue to go on your way, and then sometimes you stop talking.
Yeah.
In this instance, you stop talking. I do agree.
Okay, cool. So do we have this in a priority order?
Yes.
We tried to set it up in a priority order instead of no particular order.
Yeah, though we do disagree on some of the priorities, but I think we both changed our kind of argued our own points and set it up fairly, I think is a good way to put it.
I think that's a good way to put it. We'll see if you guys agree with us or not. I know that I can think of three people that we're going to hear from off the top of my head after this episode. So I'm expecting to hear from Beer Andy, Sensula. I forget what his actual name is, but his Instagram handle is Sensula. He sends a bunch of interesting feedback. And I'm expecting to hear from Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Apple, so. Absolutely.
I'm expecting to hear from you guys. Don't let me down.
I foresee a few more as well.
I foresee quite a few, but we'll see who does. So let's start, jump right in, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, darling. All right, so do you want to start number one, ascending order or descending order?
I say let's start in ascending order.
Ascending order, so that's number 10, and then working our way upwards.
No, let's start at number one and work our way down.
That would be descending order.
Sure, descending okay. order. Because I think most people, I mean, by the time we get from 10 towards number one, everybody's going to know what number one is.
Either that or they'll be so like, what if they're thinking of the item they're thinking of and we're not thinking of that item? And then they start getting all anxious and then they have a panic attack. And then we are sued for causing a panic attack. Let's do descending order. So yes. We'll start at number one. All right, number one, we have.
Dun, dun, dun.
We need our drum roll button.
I know.
What's number one, Jimmy?
It is sockets.
Sockets.
Sockets and a socket wrench. I do feel that sockets are probably the number one most used tool in the Snail Trail shop. Mm-hmm. It's definitely nice to have. There are many different types of sockets that you could be using, you know, whether 6 points or 12 points or half inch or 3/8 or quarters or even bigger. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was, you know, just starting off, I would definitely look at going somewhere and getting one of those cases that has, you know, 100 different types of tools in it. You know,
I think GearWrench has one of those, don't they?
They do. I was going to say that they have a mechanic set out right now that's like 234 tools.
It's so nice.
It's really nice. And if I was starting, like, if I had the money and I was starting with no tools and I wanted to do this, I would be looking at that for sure.
Isn't that set, don't they offer that in the drawer box?
It's three drawer box and then probably some lid. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool because, I mean, that one's really neat. I've actually considered getting one of those and that would be my trail toolkit.
I know somebody who does that. Samurai James.
Does he?
Does that. He doesn't have the gear wrench one, but he has one of those three drawer toolboxes and he just has a ton of tools shoved into it and loaded it and he takes that on his trails.
I think Don did that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he got the gear wrench one. I'm pretty sure.
Look at Don go. Must be nice to have Don money.
Right.
Hey, Don, if you want to donate a Master Mechanics gear wrench set, send him on over to P.O. Box. Just kidding.
Lately, I've been using the quarter-inch drives a lot.
Interesting.
And really, it's for like small objects or awkwardly positioned objects. Mm-hmm. I'm just pulling out the quarter-inch drive ones and using them in the shop. And they, you know, if you don't need to torque it down very much, you don't need a massive 3/8 or the half-inch drive ones. Mm-hmm. I know that when some friends come into the shop and do some work, they go straight for the half inches, you know, and I'm like, man, you're torquing a half inch, you know, drive with a 10 millimeter bolt.
Yeah, it's my favorite combo.
Right? And you're like, don't twist it too hard. You're going to break that off.
Yeah.
And
which
so
might be part of my problem.
Maybe, you know, and so I do think it's good to have a variety of them. To start, I would just shoot for the 3/8.
I think 3/8 is a good spot to be. For my trail gear, it's a lot of half inch stuff. Just so I can use one ratchet for almost everything.
I think the simplicity of that totally makes sense. Like,
but I think in the shop.
Yeah, it's good to have a variety.
It's good to have a variety, and I think 3/8 is a great place to start at.
Another thing that you could add into this list as well is deep sockets.
Mm-hmm. Would you prefer deep sockets or short sockets?
I would start off probably with short sockets.
Okay.
I think that you would use them a lot more. Mm-hmm. We could say pass-through sockets.
That was going to be the next thing I was going to get to.
If I was starting fresh, I would probably start with a pass-through set.
Yeah.
That way, you don't have to worry about deep sockets or short sockets. One thing I did learn, though, about some of those deep socket sets, since I bought Hussey the a craftsman kit for his for Christmas.
Because he's a trader.
No, well, he's a like his tool sets are craftsman. That's why I didn't get him the gear wrench one. But the bolt thickness on some of those is too large to go through the inner diameter of the shaft.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So even though the like the socket could fit over, you know, a 19 millimeter nut, the shaft diameter for that bolt is too big to go through the interior diameter of the pass through. So there's some weird play. Maybe it's the craftsman, you know, I don't know. But there's some, once you get into those larger sizes, there's a weird crossover there that happens.
Interesting. But, I'm curious because I've never had that problem using your gear wrench pass through set in the shop, but I don't know if I've ever used it on the nut side. I've just used it pretty much like on U-bolts.
Yeah. On the U-bolts, it works great. Yeah. I mean, and that's when you're going to need it. But I, from this, to start things off, small sockets, I would say, if you're not getting pass-throughs, small sockets, and I would get some extensions.
Yeah. I agree. Extensions, that was one of the things. Extensions are so nice to have, and having a different variety of extensions and a U-joint. A universal joint for your sockets.
Definitely.
Because there's so many times when you're just getting there and you're like, I can't get to that stupid position there because there's something else in the way. And if you have that U-joint, all of a sudden you can now.
Yeah. So, another way to get to those, into those positions, though, is our number two item.
Which would be?
Box end wrenches, or also known as spanners sometimes. You know, if you can't get the socket over it because there's something else in the way, then you'd need a wrench. And, you know, we personally like the ratcheting style, the gear wrench ones that, you know, you can then set the box end side over it and ratchet away. But I do think that this is another item that's, you know, a hand tool that you can use that allows you to get into places where the sockets don't.
Yeah. 100%. That's a good one. And just to clarify, Gear Wrench, the company, not to be confused with Gear Wrench, the style of wrench, because every company now is making a ratcheting
box end
wrench, essentially. So if you go with whatever company you like, we really like our gear wrench stuff.
That's true. So, also online with this, I think you called it a monkey wrench. I've always called it a crescent wrench, but Crescent's a brand. So it could be that Crescent came out with a monkey wrench first. But that's the kind of like, it has a little dial that you spin and it opens the jaws wider, you know, to fit a bolt head, you know, and then they have different sizes of those. And, you know, that kind of style, if you you could start with kind of one of those, and that spans a lot of box end wrenches.
Yeah.
Right?
Just make sure you get a quality one.
Absolutely.
Don't get a monkey wrench from Harbor Freight, because the jaws have a lot of play in them, and you'll end up rounding out a lot of bolt heads and nuts. And you just, I nicknamed that wrench also the corner rounder.
No, that's a good, I mean, and that's the downfall of them, right?
Yeah.
The box ends are fixed. They're in their state. You know, they're you're going to fit it perfectly over the bolt that you're going to be untwisting or tightening. And the monkey wrench style is, you know, it's got a lot of play inside of it. There's wiggle room and you're probably, I mean, you can definitely do it right and you can definitely do it wrong.
Yeah.
Mess it up.
100%. I've found that the 8 or 10 inch of those monkey wrenches, adjustable wrenches, the 8 to 10 inch is really the sweet spot for working on vehicles. There's a standard of it, right? Where if you get like a 6 inch one, it's not going to open as far, and anything bigger than a 10 inch, like a 12 inch long one, is just, it's going to be too thick. It's not going to fit in a lot of places for working on a vehicle. So I found the sweet spot for those is 8 to 10 inch long, adjustable wrench.
And that's an item that, now that I'm thinking about it, like, most often when you're having to do a trail repair, you could probably just carry that instead of a bunch of wrenches.
I actually carry an 8-inch adjustable wrench in my center console.
Yeah. That's funny.
Because I use it that much. So cool. The wrenches. Number two.
So sockets, then wrenches. Definitely.
Number three is, you know, once you have those things, you need a way to get under your vehicle so that you can now use those tools for stuff underneath your vehicle. There's great to use in the engine bay and other stuff, but you really need to be able to lift your vehicle up, right?
Definitely.
So number three would be for us floor jacks and jack stands.
Mm-hmm.
Something to get the vehicle up and then to keep it up safely.
So yeah, we you put never those together. Want to work underneath your rig if it's just on the jack stand.
No, you don't.
Or 2x4s or whatever else is out there that you might use to prop the vehicle up.
Yeah.
Get a good solid jack and a good solid jack stands.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be, and that's something simple. Like if you have, you're just starting out and you haven't really done too much lifting to your vehicle, 2 to 3 ton stands work great. They're nice, smaller, little lighter weight. You can move them around easily. They store easily. And they'll be plenty for holding your vehicle if you're using multiple of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're needing something that's going to be taller, you already have a lifted vehicle. You might want to start looking into the 6 to 12 ton jack stands just because they're taller and they can reach your frames and how high you're going to need your vehicle to get it lifted off the ground to work on it kind of thing.
Definitely. Yeah. So. If you're working on concrete, I would highly suggest getting a jack that has either metal wheels or some sort of swivel wheels so that it's easy to maneuver while you're working underneath the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
If you have even the ones that have that long like roller wheel in the front pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
My Pro Eagle that I have is... it works amazing off-road, which is sort of what it's designed for. But inside the shop with it has rubber wheels and they're in a fixed position. It just doesn't turn very well. It looks great in photos. It's a cool looking jack. It's lifted up on big tires. I get it. And that's why I bought it.
It but jacks up. I really like the pump mechanism, mm-hmm. I guess, in the jack and the hydraulics of it. Now how it jacks it, it works great for all that.
Yeah.
But it's a pain in the ass to move around in
it
the shop.
It is really, really difficult. And so, especially if you're starting, you don't need one of those.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried to talk a few people out of getting them as their first jack, and they've actually still ended up getting them. And then I hear back from them later going like, I should have taken your advice. This is hard to work with underneath a rig, like in a driveway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's in the dirt, if you're working in the side yard or something in the dirt, then it works great. You can move it around no problem. Just on, you know, concrete with those rubber wheels and that don't turn is a pain in the butt.
Yeah. I actually have one of the Harbor Freight, I think 3 ton.
The Daytona
ones.
Yeah, those are outstanding.
It's a high, what is it? Not high output. High speed jack. I don't know what they label it, but it was like $70-$80 at Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
And it works great. Mm-hmm. I've had it for 2 to 3 years now and haven't had any leaking issues with it. And it's been going great. And Harbor Freight has a great long warranty on it.
Yeah,
them,
they
so.
Do. Do you have, is there a rule of thumb for what size jack you should get, floor jack you should get for the size of your vehicle?
I mean, if you look at the jacks, I mean, they have their working load is what jacks are sold by.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their braking strength load is on it. I think
they just won't go up at that point.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know for certain. I would think if you have a full size rig that weighs 8,000 pounds trail loaded to not use a 3 ton jack, you might want to look at a 4 ton.
Yeah.
Try and match the jack to your gross vehicle weight.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's failure. I forget what it's called every time.
But you're also not lifting the entire vehicle.
True.
I would say that if you have like a Toyota, like a Tacoma or smaller, you know, a 4Runner might fall under this one. Mm-hmm. I would get a 2 ton.
Yeah, I think two to three ton is perfectly fine for anything,
mm-hmm.
like even a JK.
Yeah.
For most JKs, unless you have a bunch of body armor and a rack and a rooftop tent
and bumpers and everything
on it. Yeah.
If you're going, yeah, I would say 2 ton for some of the smaller rigs, mm-hmm. 3 ton upwards to like an F-150.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you start going, you know, the quad cab long bed F-250s, then you might want to go a little higher. But
yeah,
more, I would say somewhere, I would get somewhere between a 2, 2.5 to 3 ton.
Yep. And that's the sweet spot for most vehicles, for off-roading vehicles. Mm-hmm. Cool. So that's number 3. Number 4
I want to go back for a second.
You want to go back? There's no going back in this. Three.
Just there's also different types of jacks. You could get a bottle jack or scissor jacks. Those are also, you don't necessarily have to have a floor jack. And a lot of vehicles these days come with a bottle jack in them. Mm-hmm. So that might be an opportunity for you to, you know, to just get jack stands and use that bottle jack.
I was really impressed with the bottle jack. Was it from Samantha?
No, it was from Lloyd. I forgot air quotes kind of. I used it the other on a rig and then I was going to put it back into Lloyd before I sold it. And then I sold Lloyd
and didn't put
the jack in it. So now I got the bottle jack.
I was really impressed with that bottle jack.
It goes high.
It's a telescoping extension bottle jack.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a 3-4 ton maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it extends like 4 times the size of the body of the jack.
Almost. I would say 3 times.
Yeah.
It's maybe 8 inches tall.
Yeah.
And then it'll extend, you know, up to like 16 inches, 20 inches, somewhere around there,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, the extension of it will go. So, I mean, plus the 8 inches.
Plus the body,
so
yeah.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. I would say it gets up to that. So what's,
I'd say it's about 24 inches
24
tall.
24 inches, yeah.
2 feet.
It was pretty good.
So cool. Look into those. And the nice thing about bottle jacks is then you can dual use them in the shop and take them on the trail with you because they are very handy to have on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was number 3. Can Definitely. We move forward now, Jimmy?
Let's move forward to number 4.
Okay.
That is, we marked this one. This one is one that we argued over.
This
the
is
placement.
When we, yeah.
I think it needed to be a little lower. You felt that it needed to be a little higher.
Which is funny to me because I would have thought that it would have been the other way.
Yeah.
That you would have wanted it higher and I would have wanted it lower. But we ended up arguing the opposite of what I thought it was going to be.
I just don't think... Yeah, we'll talk. It's a tape measure.
Yeah.
I definitely think they're very needed and useful tools, but I don't know if it needs to be higher than some of the other things that we have on this list.
Yeah.
So
I think that tape measures, it depends more on the vehicle you have, right? Do you have an older style vehicle that you're having to fabricate a lot of stuff for?
Right.
Or do you have a newer style vehicle that everything's already prefabricated and you're just bolting it on,
mm-hmm.
bolting stuff on, bolting it off? If you have a newer style vehicle that you're just bolting stuff on, bolting stuff off, then pay attention to number 5, 6, and then you can ignore the whole rest of the... I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. A tape measure...
That's a fair point. I mean, it does depend on it. You know, I think that on that, maybe that's... why I feel that you're bringing up a point to me is that I feel that the tape measure is not as highly needed because I see it as more of a fabrication item than a mechanic's tool.
Yeah, I could see that. I just end up using tape measures and digital calipers a lot lately to measure bolt hole sizes so I can go find the correct hardware for things, bushing sizes, necessary bushing sizes, figuring out your alignment of your vehicle. There's a lot of things I've been noticing that I used to never use tape measures for, but I use them all the time now. And it's just been one of those things I'm like, oh, it's nice to know the exact measurements rather than just go off of what I used to do, which is like, it's close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And for being as, you know, I know that Hussey makes me definitely more anal about precision on a lot of these things.
You said anal.
True. I'm shocked that I didn't rank it as I would rank it lower.
I would have thought that you and Jason definitely are much more OCD about having exact measurements than I am. I'm like, it's close, it's within 1/16, 1/8 of an inch, it's good.
Yeah.
But no, I thought that you would have definitely ranked it higher, but you don't. And that's surprising.
I think you brought it up because it's more of a fabric. To me, I see it more as a fabrication tool than a mechanics tool.
I can see that.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And then
we'll
and there's a lot
to
of things.
Disagree,
Jimmy. Yeah, exactly. There's some things on this list that we left off because we did feel that they were more of a fabrication tool than a mechanics tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll get down to, we may end up doing a follow-up episode, but there's also stuff that we talked about and we're like, oh my God, we use that all the time in the shop, but is it really something you need in order to get the work done?
Right.
And so we'll talk a little bit about those too. But anyways, so tape measure, make sure you know how to use the smart end of the tape measure if you're going to get one and not just the dumb end. Yeah. So I think tape measure, and also I think a digital caliper goes with that as well.
Yeah, so, that could be tape measure is
measuring
basic.
Devices.
Tape measure is level one. Digital caliper level two.
I could see that. Yeah.
There you go.
Cool.
Number five.
Is that 1, 2, 3, 4? Oh, number five. Yes,
number five. Good. Finally.
Breaker bar.
Breaker bars. Absolutely.
So my whole thing with the breaker bar, I don't know if I've ever said this to you, but I hate your breaker bar.
It's not. In the shop. It's a medium breaker bar.
It's a baby breaker
bar. It is.
I'm like, if you're going to get a breaker bar, get a breaker bar, man.
Right. I do need, it's like, yeah, what is it? It's like 18 inches.
I'm going to end up taking and cutting the end of your breaker bar off and welding it to a piece of 4 foot long dom tubing.
Yeah.
That's going to be your breaker bar.
Yeah. No, I definitely need a larger one. I know that.
That's what she said.
Yeah. It needs to be bigger for sure. I mean, if you have a little wimpy one, you just can't work it right.
That is true. I mean, is there a minimum length or a minimum girth you need for your breaker bar that it needs to be?
Yeah, I would. Well, I mean, I would say almost all breaker bars should be at least a half inch drive.
Okay.
I don't think they make anything less than that.
I don't know if they do either. That's a good question.
And I would say that if you have a half inch drive ratchet, mm-hmm. I would at minimum double that length.
Okay. I would say for a breaker bar, you want at least 24 inch, 2 foot breaker bar. If you're going to get a breaker bar, mm-hmm. get at least a 2 footer.
Right. I agree. I agree. I think that's, you know, the bigger the better in a way. Yeah. I don't know why I've had that
so
little one for so long.
So size always matters.
In this case, yes.
Okay.
girth, I think that they would make it the size of the handle doesn't necessarily matter, mm-hmm. I think, but the head where the drive is needs to be strong enough to so that it doesn't shear off.
That's true. Okay.
So
you think it's more about just the drive size, the half mm-hmm. inch drive on it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the length of it.
I think I would use a 24 inch one.
Every time?
Every time.
Okay.
If I had one.
Gotcha.
But I would say minimum. I mean, because if you have a half inch ratchet, uh-huh. you know, and if it's 10 inches long, mm-hmm. then, you know, there's, and you can't loosen the bolt with that, uh-huh. you're going to need something bigger. And you can add a cheater bar on it, but then how far out is that cheater bar going to go? Mm-hmm. You know, and you might as well get a 24 inch one or something fairly decent size.
Yeah.
Quit. It's working. Get your mind out of the gutter. We're trying to have a podcast here.
This is part of the podcast. You should know this by now.
If you can't get it with two hands, if you can't get it off with two hands, then you're doing something wrong.
Oh, man. What are we talking about here?
Number six. The opposite of a breaker bar.
So if you can get it off, then you need a way to put it on, right? Mm-hmm. And so what is number six then if you're putting on what you got off?
It's a torque wrench.
Cool. Awesome. So torque wrenches. 3/8, 1/4 inch, 1/2 inch drive. Is there a benefit to any of them that you should start off with or have or prioritize?
You know, I would.
What do torque wrenches do? Let's start there for people that don't know what a torque wrench is.
Yeah. So a torque wrench is a way of measuring the amount of foot pounds or inch pounds or Newton meters that you are applying to the bolt or nut while you're tightening it into position.
Cool.
So if you need to tighten, if there's a specific call out on how tight that should be, then you have a way of measuring that with this bar.
Yes.
And there's a lot of different types. There's a few different types of torque wrenches. Mm-hmm. The ones that have just like two bars on top of each other, and you can see how one bends
the deflection.
Uh-huh. And then the other like needle points to how much pressure you're applying. Mm-hmm. There's other ones that you can set the pressure, and when you tighten it, it'll like click at you and click it when it's at that specific torque. And then there's digital ones that will give you a reading and like buzz or beep or color at you when you get into that spot.
Okay.
I would almost, I would look at the specs. I think, I don't know how exactly how to answer that. There's a lot of times, there's not very often that you need to go above like 120 foot pounds.
Yeah.
Then there's a few times that I need to go down to like 25.
Yeah.
Right. So half inch drive ones sometimes don't go down that far.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go up to 250, which is almost is like, that's if you need to go to 250, you could just use your breaker bar with an extension and tighten it as tight as you can. And you're probably at 250. So I'd almost say that you should get a 3/8 to start off. I would get a 3/8 one because that will go low. I think the low end is more important
for working on vehicles.
For working on a vehicle because it's more to hit a, you know, 20 foot pound, you know, torque is compared to a 100 pound. The 100 pound, you can just tighten it and get it as tight as you can with a wrench and you're probably good.
Yeah.
But if you need to get that 20 pound, then that one's probably needs to be more precise.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, that's really tough to say. I would look at the specs and I would say, look at how low something goes and figure out if it gets down into that 20 foot pound range.
Mm-hmm.
And if the half inch drive one does, I would get the half inch drive one. But if it doesn't, figure out how high on things you're going to need to go, which I would say a lot of times, I don't know. I think I've torqued things up to 150 pounds a few times. I've definitely gone higher on some things, but I haven't really needed it to be that exact.
I think the only things that really go up to 120, 150 on vehicles are going to be like your Pitman arm nut. that goes up pretty high, 120, 150. And then your T-case output nuts go up to...
I think those are only 90.
I took mine to 120.
Congratulations. I think it's only 90. but 250 on the third member pinion. And I know it was like 250 on like the Volkswagen spindle nut, rear axle spindle nut thing.
Ah.
It's that one's super high.
Jeez.
because when I was doing the Volkswagen, working on a Volkswagen, it was super, super duper high. I had to use like the breaker bar with like a 4 foot long extension to get it off.
To get it off.
Yeah.
There you go. Getting things off again.
I know. But, when I put it back on, it was more or less the same thing. Just get that extension and put that on and get it as tight as you can.
Yeah. Pretty much if something is calling for, 120 or higher foot pounds, it's almost impossible to over tighten it.
kind of. Yeah.
You definitely can over tighten it, but, it's I think that's a good call. I've always looked at it in terms of, I'm just going to get half inch drive. Torque wrenches, but I have noticed, especially doing the beadlocks, having the torque wrenches that could read lower was definitely something that's necessary for that.
Yeah.
What about tooth counts? We didn't talk about it in ratchets and sockets. Is that something that should be a priority? Because I know it comes into play a lot more with torque wrenches than it does with sockets and ratchets, how much of importance it is.
I think as sockets and, you know, maybe box and ratchet wrenches, if you're starting out and you can afford a higher tooth count, do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just looking for some tools, I don't think it necessarily matters right away.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those, and then, it's like, oh, here's my basic tools. And then I got these newer tools and then I have these fancy tools. I don't think anybody, when they start out, like when they're 18 and they're just starting to wrench, they're going to go out and buy the like super duper fancy expensive, 120 tooth wrenches.
Yeah.
They're going to buy the, a Harbor Freight tool kit, which comes with like
24 tooth,
48 tooth or something, you know? So if you're starting off, I wouldn't say it's that big of a deal. If you're looking to upgrade, I would say definitely consider getting a higher tooth count because it is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Torque wrenches, I think that it's definitely a very beneficial to have a higher torque or a higher tooth count.
Tooth count, yeah.
Because you can get more precise.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would agree. That exact thing. If you're just starting out, sockets and gear wrenches, whatever's available that you can afford starting out. torque wrenches, you definitely want to prioritize. I was amazed at the difference between going from the 120 tooth, just the analog gear wrench, torque wrench, and the Harbor Freight, which I think is 24 tooth, I think 24 or 48.
Yeah.
Torque wrenches, and the difference between the two, you set them to the same torque setting, and the difference you end up getting, because there's just more variation there between how many tooth are engaging.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, look into higher tooth torque wrenches.
Yeah. I would definitely tell people to get the, at least at minimum, the clicking version of torque wrenches. No need to spend like $800 on a digital one if you're, you know, beginning. And I would almost push people to get the like deflection bar and needle one.
Really?
To start off with, because you get a good understanding of what torque is when you see that kind of move.
Okay.
You know, and you like, if you're pulling it and you see one bar staying where you originally started pulling it, or the amount of force that you're putting on it, and you can see, you actually visibly see the effort that you're putting into it.
Okay.
I think it's a good starting spot to, for people to get an understanding of what they're doing.
Okay. Cool.
And
I like it.
And they're the cheapest.
Yeah. Cool. I like it. I never really thought of that.
They probably actually pretty accurate down at the lower numbers too.
True.
So
true.
The thing about them is they don't tell you when you get to that torque.
Yeah.
The clicking kind or the digital kind will, you know, click when it gets to 50 foot pounds, or beep when it gets to 50 foot pounds. And that one you have to actually have your eye on it.
Which can be really hard if you're having to torque something to 70 foot pounds to watch the gauge as you're torquing it. Can be very difficult.
Definitely.
So. Cool. So, what about number 7? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, number 7.
This is another one that we argued about.
Yeah.
Because, for the most part, I was like, screwdrivers, Phillips head, flatheads. And you're like, we don't use them that often.
Yeah. And it's like, the only time I really use screwdrivers is to pry something with.
Yeah.
Which is why all my screwdrivers get messed up.
But I think there's a lot of times that there's a lot of applications, interior and, you know, some of the fender liners and there's a lot of stuff like air filters. There's a lot of things, you know, that the vehicle has screwdrivers with.
Yeah.
And so I think they could have been higher up, switch it with tape measure. you know, we argued and it got pushed down the line. I do think that, it is a necessity to have in the shop for, you know, just basic tools and basic workflow.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And this is really what made me cave on this one when we were arguing about it was, you know, if I'm going to, tell somebody, you know, here's the things to get for your shop as you're starting out, I would skip screwdrivers and I would say, just go straight to a cordless drill or cordless impact, because they're more usable. You can use them for more things and just get the bits for screwdrivers for them and get extensions. Yeah. But then Jimmy was like, yeah, but really that's an added expense, and you can do the bare minimum and get the job done with screwdrivers. It's just not going to be as nice. And I was like,
yeah,
gotcha.
I think there's a level of, you know, manually doing something and then electronically doing something. And I think we're really sticking more towards the manual and trying to be cheaper for the people that are just starting off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in all honesty, I would jump immediately to a really nice cordless impact.
Yeah.
And that would help you, because then you can add the screwdriver bits on there. You can add attachments, so you can put all the sockets on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll speed up the entire process of working on a rig. And as long as once you get comfortable with that, you can actually start to get near to torquing things with that cordless, and then get a torque wrench to actually fine tune that torque.
Yeah.
But I think we kind of added this into two things into one.
Yeah.
Where I would say, and the thing is, I would, you know, in true transparency, I would spring, if you're starting off and starting as a mechanic or, you know, working on a rig, I would spend $100 to $200 on a set of tools.
Yeah.
Like a gear wrench set or, you know, a Harbor Freight set or something. And those come with screwdrivers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, usually they come with screwdrivers. They come with different types of bits that you can interchange. They come with some like torque bits and things like that. They come with sockets. They come with box end wrenches and thing, all those.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's going to cover 4 out of the, you know, 10 things yeah. on this list.
Yeah.
And then, you know, by doing that, you're knocked off 4 things. And then I would get a cordless.
Yeah. I think that's a good way. I think that's a good sound word of advice, especially since I kind of had to go through this process mm-hmm. and redo all my tools when they were stolen with the 4Runner, right? And that's essentially what I did. Gear Wrench was nice enough to donate me one of those sets.
Yeah, what was that? 100?
200, 180? Like 100,
yeah, 80 or 150.
Something like that, that set. And I've been really impressed with how thorough that set is
yeah.
and how much I was able to accomplish working on a rig with just that set.
Right. And that's, you know, those sets are, it's like the bare bones necessity parts, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you don't get all, you know, 16ths of an inch
yeah.
or, you know, every millimeter, you know, sockets or wrenches, you know, but it's, you're going to be able to get the job done very well with that set. And mm-hmm. then you need to start adding and filling
then you start
in.
Filling in the holes.
Yep. So, but I do screwdrivers, Phillips heads and flatheads and, you know, and or getting towards cordless, I think would be mm-hmm. a definite thing. I think they should have been higher. Tyler argued him down. So
yeah,
you guys can see how this relationship goes because I thought tape measure should have been lower and it was much higher.
Yeah, but I got screwed. I got screwed on one thing that I thought should be like number 3 or 4.
Yeah. And that's coming up soon, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So number 8.
Number 8. This was one that we almost didn't even put on the list.
Yeah.
And it now is up at 8. Yeah. But it's pliers. Some kind of just generic pliers, needle nose pliers, snap ring pliers, vice grips, or channel locks.
Yeah, grabby thingies.
Grabby thingies. You know, I think needle noses are...
As Ian would put it.
Yeah. Yeah. Pinchy things.
Grabby thingies.
Pinchy grabby things. Pliers are a definite need to have. A lot of times, you know, like if you only have... You know, if you don't have the right box end wrench and you have a socket and you need something else to hold it, you're going to grab some channel locks or some pliers.
Mm-hmm.
Needle nose are very nice to have because they can get farther into some of the spots when you need to grab things. A lot of like hose clamps, mm-hmm. You know, you need to, sometimes my hands aren't strong enough to even pull those things off and you need some pliers to get mm-hmm. those off. There's a lot of different types of pliers. I think I would go with just a generic plier or a needle nose to start and then start working your way up with snap rings. You don't necessarily need snap rings, you know, until you dive deeper yeah. into like some big projects. You know, like even a suspension lift, you don't use snap ring pliers for. Mm-hmm. But when you start getting into the transmission T cases and third members and
axles and everything, yeah, yeah.
Then you start needing snap rings. So,
yeah. Now, I would argue if you're going to pick a pliers, go with needle nose
mm-hmm.
and get a basic needle nose because typically when you're working on a vehicle, the other pliers are great in a lot of other like household projects and other things. When you're working on a vehicle, typically you end up using the pliers in situations that's hard to reach and get into. So having those needle nose is extremely yeah. nice. Get a needle nose and get a long reach needle nose mm-hmm. one as well.
You know, another thing that I think I'm going back on myself now, if you have wrenches, mm-hmm. you're not going to use a basic plier. You know, yeah. then you'll be using the mm-hmm. wrenches. Also, yep. needle nose have wire cutters on them.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of getting a twofer with yeah. that. And so I would definitely, needle nose, I think, would dip, should be above a lot of those mm-hmm. pliers.
Yeah.
Then you start adding the ones in that you need.
Yeah. So I agree. I like
it. The benefit of channel locks, though, is that they will go big.
Yeah.
So.
And as we know, Jimmy likes going bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Size matters to him.
Absolutely. All right. So
number 9.
This is the one that you were arguing?
This is the one I was arguing.
That you were
yeah.
upset about?
Yep. A magnetic light. There has been so many times in the shop, even outdoors during the day when I've been under a vehicle and I'm like, I just cannot see up in this crevice where the hell the bolt is, where the nut is, if I'm on it, if I'm not, if I'm reaching it with the needle nose. I cannot tell. Maybe I'm just have really bad eyes. I don't know, but I use a magnetic light all the time. And there's been a lot of situations when I use it and I'm like, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have this light or some kind of light to to view what you're doing. That's why I was like, I need a light. I want a light much further up on this list. But Jimmy was like, nah, you're done. You can do everything by Braille.
No, well, I mean, it's just, I don't think it's as necessary as some of the other tools, personally. Mm-hmm. You can get the job done without a light. Like, there, I disagree. I mean, I would say, well,
but okay,
it depends on what job we're talking about, I guess. You know, I think the mass majority, well, let me not say that, but I think a lot of working on a rig, you're not necessarily underneath the rig as often.
Okay.
You know, and if you're doing a suspension change, you're not, you know, you're on the exterior side of, you know, the rig.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working in the engine, you know, and you're outside or something, then there's enough light.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, I just don't think it's as necessary. Also, I didn't want to really put it on the list because everybody has lights for the most part already. You know, like, you can use a flashlight, you can use a headlamp. You know, there's mm-hmm. It's sort of like a tape measure. It's, you know, to me, it's like, this is a product that you already probably own.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I don't know if it's like something that you need to get. You know, it's like if you're coming to a situation, you're like, man, I really could use a light right now. You're like, well, I got a light. I can go get, you know, like,
a cell phone.
Yeah. I got a cell phone. I can go do this, you know. And so I do think a light is very important. I think that it helps. I don't know if it needed to be on the list personally, but
it needs to be on the list. It should be number five, number four, five.
Yeah. Right. Push tape measure up tape to measure, three. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
The last one, did you have something else to say about that? The last one on our list, number 10. I think that we were both like, we both feel it needs to be on there, but we didn't really feel that it was,
should be on there.
Should be on there.
We just don't use it a lot, but when we do need them, we are so happy we have them.
Yeah, we have to. You need it.
You
when
need
you
it.
Need it, you need it. And when you don't use it. We don't use it that often.
Yeah.
But it's a hammer and some punches.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I would suggest, you know, if somebody, hammers are cheap.
Super cheap.
You know, I'd get a small one and a larger one and maybe a BFH.
Yeah.
And then I would get punches. I would highly, highly suggest get a brass punch.
Yep.
Why brass? Because it's soft metal. And so if you're like hitting other metals that are very important, like a bearing race down into where it needs to be, you don't want to hit it with a hammer. You know, even seals. You don't want to hit them with hammers. You want to tap them with the brass. And so that you could even get a brass hammer, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But
I guess it makes sense. I never really thought of it.
but the benefit of the brass is the brass will mold and break or shear off before you damage the other metal.
Yeah.
And so then you're not hurting the part that you're installing. You're actually hurting an exposable part.
Mm-hmm.
Mine get down to a V, and then I literally cut it off, grind it off, sand it off, and just make it flat again.
Yeah.
And mine went from, you know, it's been shortening throughout its lifespan, and that's the point of it. And then you go out and get another one.
Yep. Which I just learned is kind of the point of punches as well.
Mm-hmm.
As you use a regular punch, and it starts dulling, you don't have that nice tip on it anymore, you can just grind it down and recreate them. They're designed that way. That's the point of them. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of times we don't use the hammer because we know that, you know, like if we did a hammer and a punch and we're trying to push the bolt out, we don't want to mess the threads up.
Yeah, that's the big reason for me why having a brass punch is really nice to have.
Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's like if we can lift something or twist it or move it in a better way and then just pull the bolt out by ourselves, you know, with manpower, and we're not hurting it anyway or even untwisting it, then we're not doing damage to the parts.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons that I choose not to use hammers all that often.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely times when they need to be there.
I think for hammers, if you just get one regular hammer and one dead blow hammer, which is essentially,
No, go ahead. I want to.
It's a hammer, but it's soft. It's designed to have the same purpose as a brass punch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can beat on things without damaging the stuff you're beating on. Instead, you damage the hammer, and then you just replace it once it gets dead enough,
right?
But that, I think those two hammers, a regular hammer and a dead blow hammer for the shop, you're gonna be able to do 95-99% of anything you need to be hammering.
I didn't even think of dead blows or rubber mallets.
Ah.
And I think those, I would put a rubber mallet up there. Mm-hmm. I would put it pretty high.
I would put a dead blow above a regular hammer for working on a vehicle, at least.
A rubber hammer, a dead blow, or a rubber hammer, dead blow, or a hammer.
Yeah.
Are all I didn't think of those. And those, I think those are quite essential. It's nice to have a rubber hammer because then you can beat on something and it doesn't hurt it, you know. But yeah. So,
oh no.
Those are our 10 items.
That's our Shall list we, of 10.
You want to run down the list? You have them in order. I have them all all twisted.
So number 1, sockets and ratchets. Number 2, wrenches. Number 3, floor jacks and stands. Number 4, tape measures, measuring device, digital calipers. Number 5, breaker bar. The longer, the better. Number 6, torque wrenches. Number 7, screwdriver, or cordless impact drill if you're upgrading, you have the money for that, the budget for it. Number 8, pliers, vice grips, channel locks, grabby thing, something to grab stuff with. Number 9, a light, should be 4 or 5. And number 10, hammers, punches, dead blows. And that's our list.
Yeah. You know, one thing I want to also say, on number 10 on the hammer, level 2 would be a press.
Yes. Level 2. I think that's a good way to put it. Cause I think we're going to do a quick honorable mentions. I was going to throw a press in there, but I think that's a good place to put it in. Kind of like if you have the budget for a press, put it in there, and that kind of falls in the category of hammers.
And a lot of what you're probably hammering in, you could press in very easily.
Yeah.
So, should we run down a few of the honorable mentions?
Yeah. So these are
real quick.
Real quick. So these are items that we found we use all the time, a lot in the shop, but it's not really necessary. You can still get the jobs done without them. They just make life so much easier. And once you start using them, you won't stop using them.
Yeah, kind of.
So first one, honorable mention, is gloves.
Yeah.
So
we use gloves every single time we go into the shop. Like it's the first, like we'll walk into the shop, turn on the lights, and grab gloves.
Yeah.
The reason we really didn't put it on the list is you don't absolutely need to have gloves to work on a vehicle.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like we love them. It helps, you know, keeps your hands clean. But is it necessary? No, not really.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons we didn't put it up there.
I know a lot of people will argue with that one, too. A lot of people that work on rigs a lot hate using gloves.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can't get the feel of bolts and nuts and screws and everything. Mm-hmm. So
there's times when I take the gloves off to get the job done, but there's also times that, you know, it's like I wear either like a latex or non-latex style like glove that gives you some of the, you know, your dexterity. But then there's times when I know that I'm going to just be, you know, I'm going in deep and doing some hard work and I'm going to have a thicker, like leathery style glove, you know, that is more of a like work around the yard style, you know, you know, just helps me out. And then if you're, you know, if we're going, you know, while you're grinding or working on other fabrication stuff, you definitely need a bigger glove in there as well. So
cool. Wear protection.
Yep. Number 2 was like an extendable magnet or that like reachy claw, like grabby thing.
Yeah.
Those are two items that we, you know, like when you drop a nut or a bolt down in the engine and you can see it, you need one of these two tools to get it out. You know, or those long needle nose that we were talking about earlier. But those are two items that's like, they're very, very nice to have when you need it.
I find for me, because I don't have fingernails because I chew them off, I eat them for lunch. It's really hard for me to get washers off sometimes.
And so especially when you're wearing gloves.
Especially when I'm wearing gloves, exactly. So having one of those magnets on hand, the extendable magnets, telescoping ones, I'm using it all the time to get washers off of things. And then after I get the washer off, you just stick it to whatever you're working on, right? So it's there on hand to use for the next one.
Definitely.
So yep. Number 3 is a multimeter. And there's a lot of things. And this one, it goes back and forth. If you have a newer vehicle, absolutely, you're going to want some kind of multimeter because everything is run on the electronics nowadays. If you have an older style vehicle, you can probably get away without one. But it's one of those things where if you come into a situation where you need to start testing connectivity, see if wires are connected between the computer and the, I don't know, the airflow meter out in your engine bay, you need to have a multimeter to see if there's a break in your circuit somewhere. It helps to hunt down bad grounds and all everything.
Grounds are probably the number one item that I would, you know, more people I probably figure use a multimeter to figure out the grounds or grounding issues than anything else. I would say this one is up there whenever you start to do anything electronic. Like, oh, where I'm adding lights, or oh, I'm adding an S-Pod, you know, any of those, then you definitely should be having a multimeter of some sort.
Agreed.
Number four was one that we had on the list early on, and we actually removed off because we
put we put pliers in its place.
We did. I think we did. And it was primarily because we see it more as a fabrication tool.
Yeah.
It's a grinder. Whether it has, you know, sanding wheels or grinding wheels or, you know, wire
brushes,
wheels.
And,
you know, we use a grinder quite often, but we're also kind of doing more like cutting down tie rods or, you know, and, you know, tweaking things, making it, you know, fit where we didn't need, where it didn't work before. And, you know, we felt that a grinder is a good tool to have, but it might not be a beginner mechanics tool.
Yeah. That's... Yeah, you said it very well, good sir.
Thank you.
So I think that about does it for honorable mentions.
Yeah.
We had some others, and I'm sure as we work in the shop tomorrow, we're going to have stuff come up and be like, oh, what about this? What about that?
Yeah, you know, some of the things that I want, maybe we should just quickly say was like WD-40 and PB Blaster and carb cleaner, and we didn't really know if that we classified that as a tool or not.
Yeah,
and so we kind of left those off the list as well.
Yeah, so we'll think about it. And
tape.
We may
like I just thought about tape. Whatever.
There's a lot of stuff that could be brought up, and it's I'm sure
Sharpies.
Oh my god, yeah. Soapstone or something to write with. Like, is soapstone or a Sharpie more valuable when you're Sharpie. Working on a rig? Probably Sharpie. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. So write in. We're going to probably end up doing a follow-up episode because there's so many things that we're like, oh my, we just use it all the time. And this is something you should have in your shop or in your tool set. So write us in. Let us know what you guys think should be on the list.
Yeah.
Did we
mess it up?
Does lights need to be up higher in the list? Does tape measure need to be lower in the list? I don't know.
Yeah.
Does a grinder, should it that be in the list? So yeah, let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what you guys feel that we left off that should have been on that list.
Yeah. I'm curious too. I'm sure we're going to hear from people.
Oh, I hope so. That's the joy of this.
Does a bottle opener need to be on the list somewhere?
Right?
What about a Bluetooth speaker so you can listen to your podcast? Mm-hmm. I had that on my list as like number two and Jimmy nixed it off.
No.
He vetoed it.
There's so many other things that you turn on your radio in your car. Yeah.
So anyways, let us know. Send the feedback in. Tag us on Instagram. Send us DMs. You know, snailtrail4x4, 4x4, Toyota Tyler. Also, the emails. We love receiving the emails about whatever you guys have been up to. Shout out, by the way, to the Australian listeners that have the Ranger Raptors.
Yeah,
out there with the diesel engine and the about to get the 5-liter Mustang engine in them.
I know that's so cool.
I'm pretty upset because those things have front and rear lockers and all pretty much all the goodies that we were talking about that Toyota should put in Trail Edition. So shout out to you guys for writing in about your very obnoxious Ranger Raptors down there. But keep the emails coming in. Let us know what your guys' feedback. We love hearing from you guys. You can send them to Tyler or Jimmy at snailtrail4x4.com. And then we'll get on the new intern to make sure that the TTTTTs are getting posted on time for you guys.
Did we hire somebody? Did you hire somebody? Because I haven't heard.
You haven't heard? I don't know. Well, this is Monday's episode. I'm hoping to have somebody hired by then. I just don't know who it is yet.
Okay.
So maybe Thursday we'll announce it, who we hired. But keep all the feedback coming in. We'll keep the intern hard at work and make sure that they're well versed in how to do all the side work properly. And hopefully show quality will go up because of it. We'll see. No promises. With that, do you have any final words for everybody?
Bastard file.
With that, my friends, keep crawling.
All right, I got one for you.
Yeah?
What did one ocean say to the other?
Oh, I know this one. I don't remember. I know this one, though.
Nothing, they waved.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking it was, but that works. Okay.